Amen. Giving honor to God, who is the head of my life, to deacons, mothers, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. It is a blessing to be in the house of prayer once again. Amen. Thankful to see Minister Cora and Brother Thomas. Amen. 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 Did I get it right? Amen. Amen. I was trying to figure out who was Brother Cora. You was right. You was going to hear about it later. So. Amen. Glad to have you back. Amen. Glad to see Brother Pittman in the house. Amen. We know that he's caring for his wife. Amen. She needs attention around the clock. She's something else, boy, I would tell you that. She know it. She tells me all the time. Amen. So we want to keep Brother Pittman lifted up in prayer. we want to keep him lifted up, because I can tell what the brother's going through. All you got to do is just wave your hand. I already know, man. I already know. You don't even have to say a word. We already know what you're going through, brother. Amen. Giving honor to God, who's head of my life. To everyone that is here, God bless you all for being here on this Sunday, first Sunday. Amen. Sunday that we partake in the Lord's Supper, because we do it the first Sunday because we give God first. We don't give him seconds or thirds. You give him the best. He's deserving of that. Amen. Last Sunday, enjoyed my cousins flying in, flying home, coming home, and us fellowshipping and being together and just having a good time reminiscing. Amen. They wanted to tell some old stories, and I had to tell them, you know, be careful with that. Amen. I mean, if God has forgiven me, don't you go digging no stuff up. They want to talk about stuff. Amen. We ain't come together for that. We came together to enjoy a little fellowship with the Cubs and Cardinals, but they want to start talking. Hurry up and get them back home. But I thank God for them as we really enjoyed ourselves. Amen. I was hoping that a couple of my other cousins would have made it, but nevertheless, we thank God for them too. I think it would have just been even more amped up. The more you get, the more it just seems to amp everything up. But praise God. I'm going to try to make it through this message. I'm a little tired. Daughter was kicking me in the head last night. I mean, she had the nerve to tell me. She said, "Daddy, I'm tired." I don't see how. Amen. I don't understand that one. I mean, you look like when I looked over at her, every time I got elbowed or kicked, she was asleep. I'm the one waking up trying to reposition her. Amen. Then all of a sudden, I just left her alone, and all of a sudden, I'm kicked in the head. So I need to invest in a helmet or something as I'm sleeping. Thanks be to God. I'm here. Psalms 147. Verse 4 and 5. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? I'm reading from the King James Version. Psalms 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Amen. For the readings, hearers, and doers of God's word. Amen. I'm still talking about God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One of the reasons why we say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because it really defines who we're talking about. Amen. It kind of puts you into that mindset of who we're dealing with. There's a lot of self-proclaimed or people use as gods with the lowercase g, but the capital G belongs to the Almighty God, which is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who God has used them before time, before we came here. God unlimited power. You know, when you look at the word unlimited, that kind of tells you something, that there is something that prohibits us, you know, from doing things, because every human has limits. You can only run as fast, jump so high, and go so far without water. We have broken records as humans over the past few decades, but how much more can we progress, or can we make in breaking those records? No matter how we enhance our natural capabilities, our potentials is still bound. Amen. Most of our frustrations in life really is a direct result of limitations. We're limited by space because we can only be in one place at one time. We're also limited in our knowledge. There was an old adage that says, the more you learn, the more you know how much you don't know. Amen. We're living in an information world, and we realize that we'll never know even a fraction of what we could know. I mean, we're always learning something. Amen. Some of these babies can even teach you some things. So we're always learning something. We're constantly facing circumstances where we don't know what to do, and trying to we try to answer questions we don't know the answers to. We also face limitations in our resources. As much as we like to pretend that we're invincible, every last one of us has a breaking point in our life. Amen? All of us reached a point of physical exhaustion, spiritual emptiness, and financially drained. We're overwhelmed with the needs that's around us. But because we're so accustomed to these kinds of limitations, it's hard for us to conceive the fact that God isn't bothered by limitations that we are. The Bible teaches that God is not limited by space, knowledge, and power. One of the things we need to understand, that back in the old days, the gods were thought to be localized to their domain, usually indicated by a temple or a shrine. So it was commonly thought of, you know, if you left a particular territory, that you were out of that god's reach. Okay? Because you're not close in proximity You know, so back then, you know, the closer you were to that particular God, you were under that particular God's protection. But God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob doesn't have spatial property like size and weight and height, because God is spirit, not physical matter. Okay? Because of God's nature, he's personally present everywhere. As Christian, we sometimes forget that God is already present. We tend to think of God presence as being, is like the satellite that kind of roams around. But God is not like the satellite. God is already present here. So you never know, like with the satellite, you never know when it's going to show up or whatever, but God is always present. There's never a time when God is not present. Sometimes our worship songs reflect a misunderstanding of God's presence. When we ask God to come and fill this place, we're not asking God to be more present now than he was yesterday or last week. God is present here today as he ever has been and ever will be. When we sing these songs, these words, we're not asking God to be present. We're asking God to nearly make his presence known. Amen? Because he's here right now. What we want is for him to make his presence known, to draw us into an awareness of his presence, to help us experience his presence as we worship him. Okay? God has no spatial limits. We can be confident of his presence. So we don't have to worry about if God is showing up here today. God is here today in our worship. So since God isn't limited by space, we can draw near to him anytime and in any place. God is present today as he is present in the strip club. Amen. He's as present today as he is in the Mardi Gras parade or on the seminar campus, or present in the White House as he is in the chapel, you know, or in some type of negotiation room. God is present. God is always present with us wherever we are. We may not always feel his presence, but we may feel like we're alone, but we are confident that God is with us. Amen? So we gather today to celebrate that reality, to encounter, to worship the living and true God. And when we do that, people are changed. Amen? Those who are seeking Christ find him. Amen? Skeptics are convinced. Strugglers are strengthened. Hard hearts are melted and broken relationships are mended. When we celebrate Christ's presence, we change because we realize God is already here. God is personally present in all places. This reality brings you comfort, you know, depending on how you look at it. If you're seeking God, it's a wonderful assurance. Amen? But if you're trying to run from God, it is a warning. Because you're not going to move where God is not. Amen? You ain't going to be able to go no place. You can run all you want. I hear people say, I'm running from God. You may be running, but you ain't running from God. Because wherever you go, he's already there. And here's another thing. You can never talk behind God's back. Amen? You can never talk behind his back. Because we cannot speak of God in his absence. I mean, I could tell my brother to leave this room, and I could talk behind his back because he's no longer here in this room. Amen? So he's gone. But here's the thing. You can do that to humans, but you can't do that to God because God is here. So whenever you deny him, you're denying him to his face. Amen. You can never deny God behind his back. You can only do it to his face. So when you say you don't believe in him, that's you saying it to his face. Amen. So you know, you can never do anything behind God's back. He already knows. Amen. So here's the thing. God's knowledge is infinite. And because his knowledge is infinite and mine's is limited, I can't figure out why he does what he does. I can't figure that out. Now, what does God's infinite knowledge include? God knows the past, everything, skeleton, every failure, every moment. God knows the present, everything currently happening, and how it all fits together. God knows the future. He knows exactly how the story is going to end. God knows all possibilities. There is not a possibility that God does not know. God knows what kind of father I would have been if I had all girls. He knows what kind of father I would have been if I had all boys. He knows all possibilities. The reason why we have a hard time understanding God is because we don't have the mind of God. And because we are limited with our capabilities, we feel as though God is limited with his capabilities as well. So therefore, we put him as a human instead of putting him as the God Almighty. If God knows everything, what impact will that have on our lives? Since God has no limit in his knowledge, we can trust the wisdom of his plan. Have you ever seen, I don't know if I'm saying this word right, but it's the, have you ever seen a tapestry? If I'm saying that right, I don't know if I'm saying it right. But one side of it looks really bad. Huh? Tapestry, thank you. Tapestry. One side of it looks really bad. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all seen that? But the other side looks good. See, we look at that bad side, and we think that it's a mess. But see, God would take that, and God say, you ain't looking at it the way I'm looking at it. Because see, on the other side of it, God sees the whole picture. Amen. See, we have not come into the knowledge of God. While we're looking at something that is a wreck, that is messed up, God is looking at it and saying, that ain't what I'm looking at. God is looking at it, I'm seeing a different picture than what you're seeing. Amen. Y'all remember how the spies went out to spy out the land, right? They came back with a different report. See, we all are not going to say the same thing. I guarantee you, if I hold up a color, you all, some people may say that's pearl white. Some people may say it's egg white. Some people may say it's just white. But you know what the matter is? It is white. But we all have our different way of saying it. My grandfather taught me that a long time ago. He said, you ain't going to say it how I say it. So you need to say it. But from the back, we don't understand how it all fits together. The fact of the matter is that God is all-knowing and that he is in complete control. God knows all things, both actual and possible. I mean, just studying this, just blowing my mind. I mean, he knows things actual and possible. There is nothing that he does not comprehend. You know, here's the thing. I can't trust someone who doesn't know what he's doing. You can't. You can't trust someone that doesn't know what they're doing. Because they're going to, and man, you can't trust a God that doesn't know what he's doing. Because that God is going to make the same mistake that he made before. But see, God knows all possibilities. Nothing is outside of his knowledge. Even it's like you know how you can trick some people in saying a color? You know, we did this when we was in grade school. And I had some girls to say, I can make you say that color, Ronnie. And I said, no, you can't. can't make me say that. What's wrong with you? We got to, they got to talking and saying stuff to me, and next thing you know, I got to mouthing and saying this and saying that. Next thing you know, I done said the color. And I was like, you got me. But see, here's the thing. I was tricked. Here's where I'm going with that. God already knew I was going to say the color. No matter how confident I was in saying that I wasn't going to say it, God already knows you're going to say it. You see what I'm saying? This is why the cross is so important to us, y'all. No matter how much you say, man, I ain't going to do that no more. I ain't going to see it no more. But see, God is saying the cross is what's going to help you. Because that is forgiving us of our sins. That's why he stretched his arms out. God knows all things. There is no limit to his power. Jesus invites the rich man to sell his possession and to become a follower of Jesus. You had some of these rich people today to sell everything they got. Give it all up. I promise you they'll do the same thing that he did. They ain't going to do that. Jesus turns to his followers and said that it's harder for a rich person to be made right with God than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Y'all understand that? That's God saying that. I ain't say that. That's the word of God. That's scripture. Look it up. In Jesus' day, it was commonly believed that rich people were especially blessed by God, that the riches were an infallible sign of God's favor. Let me tell you something. That's what they still think today, is that just because a person has a lot of money, they're blessed by God. Not if you're a crook and you've just been getting away with it. Amen? In Matthew, Jesus says, look at them. In Matthew 19 and 26, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. From a human perspective, it's impossible for anyone to be made right with God, rich or poor. But with God, anything is possible. God is the God of impossible, the God who makes all things a possibility. You got some impossible things in your life today? We serve a God that can make it possible. You thinking that this child won't get saved acting up? We serve a God that can take that impossibility and make it possible. That's the God we serve. Here's the thing. The greatest danger to the church today is that the church is buying into this mentality of impossibility, a mentality that weakens true faith and cripples God's kingdom by inactivity and intentionally. Let me tell you something. You better believe the God of the impossible is walking with you, working in you, and witnessing through you. You better believe that today. When God wants to do something big, he starts with something very small. Look out, Rhema. He starts with something very small. When he wants to do the miraculous, he starts with the impossible. When he sent his son to the world, he didn't send his son to a big city or to Rome. No, what did he do? He sent his son to a little bitty village called what? Bethlehem. God loves to start small because then he can show his power in a mighty way. Amen? He also is the only one who will get the credit because most of us don't want the credit for small beginnings. We rather for it to start big and get credit for it. But God would take something small and he would turn it into something big because he knows that he will get the credit for it. But if you start off with something big, you will get the credit. He starts with the impossible and then turns it into a reality. Listen to the story of Abraham's life. Here is a man whom God found in paganism and Ur and Chaldees. This 75-year-old man, no children. God promised this, no disrespect, this old man, that he would have so many descendants that they would be like the stars in the sky and the dust on the ground. No one would be able to count all of it. This was an incredible promise to make to an old man, and we can hardly blame him if he had trouble believing this. So God repeated the promise many times across the years. Each time, he added a little bit more detail. First, he was general when he was talking to him. He said, I will make you a great nation from your descendants. That's your first one. Then as time went on, God became a little bit more specific with him. God said, you would have a son. So God is now adding something to the I will make you a great nation from your descendants. So God said, I'm going to add something to it. I'm going to give you a son. Then God added a promise concerning the nation itself. To your descendants, I will give the land from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. Finally, God cut him a contract, covenant, with Abraham, in which he made an unconditional promise to fulfill everything that he has promised. But now, 24 years later have passed, and Abraham is now 99 years old. He has no child except a son born through Hagar, his wife, maidservant. Surely God had forgotten his promise, or perhaps he has changed his mind. But just at the moment of despair, God comes again to Abraham with even more details about what he said he was going to do. He then says, your name will be called Abraham, father of many people. Many kings and nations will come from you. I will make an everlasting covenant with your descendants. I will give the whole land of Canaan to your descendants. How could Abraham believe an amazing statement? The answer is in the name which we introduce him is the Almighty God, which is known in the Hebrew as El Shaddai. The phrase is the God who can move mountains. God who is capable of doing everything he sets out to do. It was God's way of saying, Abraham, what are you worrying about? I've got this, man. If I told you I'm going to do it, believe me that I'm going to do it. I like how God gave him just a little bit at a time, because, see, we get too much, it'll overwhelm you. Because you're going to try to figure it all out. Well, how is this going to happen? I remember when I got my job, I was praying to God. I didn't have a job. I was broke, living at home with my parents, and was frustrated. And I was like, I need a job, God. And God blessed me with a job. I prayed, and God blessed me. And guess what? The job didn't pay much. But you know what? It was more than what I was making. Which was nothing. What I'm saying, God said, let me start you right here. Start right here with this little small salary. You know, I was doing more than everybody, but was getting paid less than everybody. But that's how we always look at things. Am I right? Y'all ain't talking to me. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. God took this small salary, small position, and God said, I will bless you from here. I was complaining, but God said, look what you got. You prayed for the job. I got you. You got the job. God couldn't show me everything at once. He said, I'm going to give it to you in parts. Because if I give it to you all, you're going to try to get the all before you get here. Sometimes we want to skip. And we want to move past some processes that God has put in place to strengthen you.
God is saying, I need you to start right here, because he knows that if I start you right here, you're going to preach about this one day, and I'm going to get the glory. He said, if I start you off here, you ain't going to appreciate it. But if I start, y'all ain't talking back. When I start you off small, he said, you will give me the praise. He took that salary. He was able to move me out of my parents' house, gave me a duplex, blessed me. Unbelievable. He gave it to me in parts. Stop trying to get the whole at once. El Shaddai, he let me know who he was. Sarah was urgent. See, this is what happened. This is what God didn't want to be interfered. Sarah urging Abraham to sleep with Hagar in order to help God out. God doesn't need any help. God needs our obedience. He needs the humbleness of us. He needs a willing vessel who is able to just say, Lord, here am I. Use me, Lord, for your service. His wife trying to help him out. God don't need your help. Said, well, won't you, since God is, it's been a while since he talked to you, won't you go in, you know, and Abraham was like, well, I don't have a problem with it as long as you're okay with it. But my point is, that's not what God wanted him to do. Yet God includes her in the promise to Abraham. Though she was far from being perfect, listen to me, and those her faith is very weak, she too would be included in God's plan. If it's as if God said, don't worry, Sarah, I'm going to bless you in spite of yourself. That's what God does. We mess up, but God said, I'm going to bless you in spite of yourself. You're the reason why your blessing don't come. It ain't me. I ain't doing it. You have to give an account of your own stewardship, not me. God is not going to say, well, brother, well, pastor, you remember you hindered this, but you did this, and you, no, to this person, God is not going to hold me accountable for your stewardship. God says, sir, I'm going to bless you. In other words, God says, I'm going to bless you in spite of yourself. Isn't that what God does? He blesses us in spite of ourselves. Whatever God does, he does it in spite of us, not because of us. See, the world says it's impossible to create something from nothing. Yet, that's how God produced the cosmos. It's impossible for animals to speak, but yet Balaam had a donkey that did just that. Amen? That's you know, it was impossible for the Israelites to cross over the Red Sea, but didn't they go over on dry land? We saying it's impossible, but didn't God do it? Didn't God make the sun, the moon, and the stars stand still, but scientists are still trying to figure out that there is a day missing? They still trying to figure out. Look in Joshua chapter 10 and verse 12 and 14. The scientists are still trying to figure out there's a day missing. There's a day missing because God made it stand still. Who's capable of doing that? It is the God Almighty, El Shaddai, who is likened unto thee. Well, you know, some days there's the will to keep fighting this battle. It feels impossible. Two things keep me in this fight that I'm fighting. The first is the finish line, where the glory of Christ awaits us for eternity. Along with that is the amazing truth that Jesus has already won this battle for us. As his children, we simply need to just hold on to the faith, hold on to Jesus' unchanging hand. Peter's imprisonment, Listen to this. Shortly after King Herod killed James, the brother of John, he sought Peter's life as well. Peter was arrested and handed over to the four rotations of four guards to be guarded until after the Passover. Peter's imprisonment, which seemed to be both a threat to his life and a hindrance to the advancement of the gospel, God sometimes allows circumstances to make it appear as if evil is winning, but only for a time. At first glance, it would seem that Peter's imprisonment was getting in the way of the work of Jesus had given him. However, by the end of the account, we see how God used the enemy's destruction attempt for his own purpose to show the power of God to both his persecutors and the church. At times, circumstances may seem like a hindrance to the gospel and a threat to our lives. Maybe the very platform God uses for the gospel to be displayed through us. Evil may appear to flourish for a time, but the Lord has established its boundaries and will ultimately stop it from advancing for his purpose. Some will see the power of God turn to him in repentance, while others will see the power of God as a threat to their own power and turn away. Herod was about to bring him out. On that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And here's the thing. Herod knew the power that Peter had. This is why he had him in all of this coverage. It's like a football player that's a receiver that is very fast. You're going to have that receiver in double coverage. Why? Because the speed of that receiver has the ability to get past that first receiver. And then so you have a safety back there in case he gets past that one to slow him down and intercept what it is that he's trying to catch. But God is the best offensive coordinator you've ever seen. God had the ability to say, hey, I know where Peter is because I was right there with Peter in the same prison cells. I know the hearts and minds of man. So I already knew what Herod was getting ready to do to my servant. But it wasn't going to happen because God said, I got more for him to do, and I'm not ready for him to come home just yet. So Herod felt it was necessary to chain Peter to two guards with two more protecting the gate. He must have seen Peter as a powerful threat. Christians, people of God, you are a powerful threat to the world. You need to understand that you have power at your disposal. You have to know how to use this power. The devil trembles in the name of Jesus because he knows the power. We need to remember that if our lives are marked by the light of the gospel, we too may be seen as a threat to others. Peter was a threat. He was a threat because he was doing God's will. He was in God's will, and God was blessing him because he was in the will. God knew what Peter was capable of doing, so God said, I'm not ready for you to come home, but I am getting ready to release you from prison. God has a way of shaking things up. God has a way of moving mountains out of his people's way. God has a way of doing it. This is why he said, speak to the mountain. If there's a mountain in your way, God said, whatever problem you having, all you got to do is speak God's word, and it will move out of your way. You and I need to remember this when we find ourselves in afflictions, feeling helpless and afraid of what might lie ahead. No pain, suffering, evil, or persecution is outside of God's control and power in your life. God has a capability to come in. He is never overwhelmed or surprised by what happens in our lives. And he will be faithful to work in it and through it for his eternal and loving purpose. God is aware of everything that we're dealing with this morning. He is so aware of it that he knew it before you were born. He has a plan for it because he made the end before the beginning. That's why the Bible says the author and finisher of our faith. He has no rivals. You know, my cousin and I root for the Cardinals and they root for the Cubs. Well, the Cubs are the Cardinals' rivals. But God doesn't have one. A rival is something that goes back and forth. One win this time, the other win this time. This one win this time, that one win this time. But with God, there is no rival. He wins everything. It happens in his own timing. Not only that, but he measures and decrees the boundary by which creation will abide. He talks to it. There is none like God. The God of the Bible is incomparable, infinitely above his creation. To say that anyone or anything is like him is to try to express the unlimited in limit terms. Any comparison will fall short when it comes to God. There's only so much you can remember and so much that you can retain. There's only so far you can dive down without needing oxygen. Amen. There's only so far up you can go without needing oxygen. You can go only so many days without food. But God don't need any of that because he's outside of that. It has no effect on God. You understand what I'm saying? It has no effect on him. God is above all of that. Who is likened unto God? There is no one. God himself even said, if there's another God, I don't know him. And God has always been and will ever be. Now, if God don't know him, then they don't exist. Many of you didn't know me before I came here. But it didn't stop me from existing. You just came into the knowing. God is saying, I've always been. I don't know him. Don't know another God. I am the only true and living God. All other gods are false. If you're worshiping something that you got to, if you got an idol God at your house and you got to pick it up and dust it off and you got to wipe it down, that ain't a God I want to serve because I'm taking care of that. Understand what I'm saying? Each time you see it, oh, you got some more dust on you. What you doing today, God? Let's get you all cleaned up. That's not a God I want to serve. The God that I serve doesn't age, doesn't sleep, nor slumbers, doesn't get tired, is always on the throne, looking down, solving problems, aware of everything that's about to take place. Know what Donald Trump is doing in the office. He can tell you if he spoke to Ukraine president. All you got to do is ask him. He can tell you if he did. Because he knows all things. Everything is made plain before God. It was as if you did it in front of him. Remember, you can't do it behind his back. So you're doing it in front of God. And you couldn't even get around him. He's so wide. You can't get over him. He's too high. You can't go underneath him. No matter how short I may be, I still can't crawl underneath him. He is a big God. Do you understand the words that's coming out of my mouth? He is a powerful God. Anybody that's messing with you, let me tell you something. You know, God blessed me with two beautiful children. And I ain't going to say I'm the toughest person in the world, But I will say, when it comes to my kids, I am tough. Amen? You mess with them, there's going to be a problem. And they know it. All you got to do is just tell me. I'm going to go to it. No disrespect. I'm not trying to say anything bad, y'all. I want y'all to understand something. If my kids tell me that somebody is messing with them, I'm going to deal with it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to deal with the situation. You know, if somebody is bothering them, I'm going to go and I'm going to have a talk with the parents. And I'm mainly the man. I ain't trying to talk to the wife, the woman. I don't do that. I'll talk to the man. And then if we have to square up, we can square up. My point is, we gonna get it done. Amen? But my point is, what I'm saying is that if they get in trouble, they know how to come to me. That's what God wants us to do. Even though he's already present, he knows God likes the communication. He likes the fellowship. That's why he created us, for the worship and the fellowship. Who is likened unto him? I don't know anybody. No one comes close. Yeah, you may remember a few more things than I do, but you're still not like God. Amen? Yeah, you may be able to jump higher than me, but you still ain't like God. Amen? Yeah, you may be able to solve this math problem, but you still ain't like God. Who is likened unto him? No one. God takes the small things and makes it big because he gets the glory and the honor. Amen.
Today, as we take communion, we recognize that it is a remembrance of what Christ did for us. Communion and bringing us together to remember the blood that was shed for us, how he bled on the cross for every one of our sins, that it covers us, and that he was raised from the dead. And we use communion time to be able to share that and remember what he's done for us. We ask that each of us take a moment and just look at ourselves and see if there's anything that we need to repent before we take of the significant symbolism of what Christ did for us, the shedding of his blood and his body that was pierced for us. Heavenly Father, righteous and eternal God, we come to you today. We thank you for your blood that you shed for us. We thank you for giving your life for us, for you were the only sacrifice that was able to make us right with our Father. And we thank you today. We ask your blessing upon what we have put together, O God, for the wine representing your blood and for the bread that symbolizes your body, God. Let us be worthy in taking it and remembering all that you have done for us to make it possible for us to be able to commune with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Testing.